Amen. And amen again. And we thank God who is righteous and holy in this day for this moment in time. We thank our dear brothers and sisters for leading us in worship this morning. And I am glad to be with you all this morning. I'm excited to share the goodness of God with you all. I'm excited to share the sweetness found in salvation of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'd like to thank the leaders of this beloved institution for giving me an opportunity to stand here and stand behind this sacred desk. All my brothers from the Boyce College side, good to see you all this morning. Thank you all for all of your text messages and even prayers leaving the office this morning. And I do want to reiterate what Dr. Hall said this morning. We're excited for all of our Boyce College students who are here this day and maybe even listening in at this moment. We're set to have a great weekend. I want to thank my dear wife for loving me well and for loving our children well and for being a constant servant to us. I especially want to bless her in this day, as this is the day 9 years ago that her mom passed away, and to see her get up this morning praising and worshiping God at 5:30 this morning brought warmth to my soul, I also like to thank Curtis Woods, who may or may not be here, who has been a devoted mentor to me for more than 10 years. I love you for pouring into my life the way that you have. And even in his absence, my former pastor, Kevin Smith, who may be listening this morning, shout out to you. And Pastor Ryan Fullerton, who has poured into my life deeply in the last few years. Thank you all for loving me and for training me for this very moment. And finally, if my folks in Zimbabwe are listening this morning and you have power and electricity and internet, to the dear Moore family, I love you all and God bless you. Let us pray. God, our Father, you are righteous. There is no darkness in you. You don't deal with darkness. You expose it. That's just what you do. And we thank you for exposing our darkness. We thank you for exposing our sins. And on the other side of you exposing our sins, you offer us your irresistible grace that consumes us and it drowns us, and we can't get away from it because it's irresistible. Even when we want to turn away, we can't, because you are ours and we are yours. Soften the hearts of your waiting people. God, don't let me stumble over my words. Let me speak with power and conviction. Hide me behind your cross. Let the awaiting saints see you, hear you, and not me at all. In Jesus' mighty, matchless name, pray and give thanks. Amen. Oftentimes when I drive and my wife and I are headed out of town, she has the gift of sleeping and I don't. That's her laughing. And oftentimes as we drive, she loads up the car, rightfully so, and she does things to prepare us for the road. And we set off sometimes in late afternoon and we're driving. And as we're driving the car, something happens when we're driving the car, because 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock can happen and light to darkness can happen and you never know. And she may wake up and say, "Wow, it got dark awfully quick." And I say, "No, babe, it really didn't get dark awfully quick. We've been driving 4 hours." And she said, "Wow, well, it seems like it happened very quick." Saints, I'm here to tell you today that sometimes traveling from darkness to light does not happen very quickly at all. It's when we doze off. It's when we close our eyes. It's when we're driving and we're not keeping our eyes on the light that we can find ourselves in darkness. And that's a problem. The problem is when we end up in darkness in our sin life, we need light. We need light. So how can you walk in light, yet rest in God's irresistible grace? How can we press forward and work unto the Lord, yet rest in God's irresistible grace?
Thanks be to God that 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 to 10 answer that. Turn there with me now. That's our passage for the day. We will see in verse 5 the message that is to be proclaimed. We will see in verses 6 and 7 the very implications of that message that we ought to proclaim. We will see in verses 8, 9, and 10 a further explanation of that message that we ought to proclaim and the implications of that message that we ought to proclaim. Hear the word of the Lord. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We thank God for his word. This text is a warning text. It's difficult to deal with. There's some tension that you probably felt just hearing the words being read. Tension rightfully applied, I think. So I pray that we reflect deeply on our own walk, that we press more hard, deeper into Jesus Christ our Lord. So who was the author of this text? John the Apostle was the author of this text. And so who was the original audience of this text? The original audience was were Christians spread throughout what is today modern day Turkey. They had been dispersed. And so now we have to ask ourselves the question, what concerns caused the text to be written? Why did God the Father say, I'm going to use John's hand to pen this very letter? Well, the issue then is the issue now. People were denying that God was all, that Jesus Christ was all God. People were denying that Jesus Christ was all man. People were denying the fact that Jesus Christ was both God and man. People were denying that God, that Jesus even existed. He's a figment of our imagination. Does that sound like 21st century news to you? We still deal with the fact that people say Jesus was just a good dude. No, he was not just a good dude. He is our Lord and Savior. That's who he is. He is matchless, sinless, beautiful. That's who he is. All God, all man. So this letter was penned not only to their hearts, but it has been penned to our hearts as well. Why was it written? Verse 2:1. 1 John 2 and 1 says this, so that you don't sin. It goes on, 1 John 2, verses 12 to 14, gives a myriad of reasons. You can turn there, I'll read them. It says, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And so he gives us these reasons why he has written this letter. So brothers and sisters, be encouraged today. Our God is good. This letter is for you. There's a warning in this passage, and you'll see the warning in verse 6. The warning is simple. If you walk in darkness, you have sin, and there is nothing that God wants to do with sin. But there's also hope in this passage, and we see the hope in verse 7. The hope is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm not sure where your hope is, but this morning my hope is built in Jesus Christ. Nothing less than his blood and his righteousness. The song goes on to say, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. We're going to be pressed to work here. We're going to be pressed to ask for forgiveness of our sins. But at the end of the day, we stand on Jesus Christ, the solid rock. Fight to walk in sin, brothers and sisters, but rest in irresistible grace. I tell you, fight to walk in the light, but rest in the irresistible grace. And there's the tension. The tension is that we feel this push to walk in the light, and then we feel this push from grace to lean into the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the words for us to walk in the light and confess our sins, coupled with the blood and the of Jesus Christ, pushes us to seek his face. I'm calling you today to fight to walk in light, but to rest in his irresistible grace. Let's look at the passage broken down into three parts. Part one is the message. This is the message we have heard. The message is clear. This is the message we've heard. What do we do? And we proclaim to you. We've heard it from him. We proclaim it to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Here we go. First, let's look at the hymn in the passage. Then second, we'll look at how John is showing us by example what we ought to do when we have heard the good news of Jesus Christ. So who is the hymn in this passage? I've said it once, I've said it twice, I'll say it again. The hymn is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, immortal, invisible, the only God who shall receive glory and honor forever and ever. And if you've met him, you know he's worth talking about. It should surprise you that John goes on to say, I've heard a message from him, and now I proclaim to you. We proclaim, and here's the deal with John. John was not some secondhand listener of Jesus Christ. We see this in verses 1-5, he had heard Jesus' voice with his own ears. He had saw the miracles of Jesus with his own eyes. He had looked upon him with his own eyes. He heard him. He saw him. He touched him. John is talking for real here. I know this Jesus that I proclaim to you. Can't keep it to myself. We proclaim to those who already know Jesus and need reminding that he is good. And we also proclaim Jesus to those who don't know him. That's our task, believers. We don't keep our mouths closed. When good things happen, what do? We tell people about them. Accolades happens, what do? We tell people about them. Birthdays come, what do? We tell people about them. Graduations happens, what do? We tell people about them. So what do we do with this message we've heard? We proclaim it. Everywhere you go. And then you pray, God, give me an opportunity to proclaim your good news. Give me a chance to proclaim your good news. Let that person just give me a little bit so I can share the gospel with them. And sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. Don't beat yourself up for that. Sometimes it's just not the time for that person to receive Jesus Christ. If you've been living long enough and you're honest with yourself, you know you ignored the grace of Jesus Christ many times. Maybe that was you. You look for opportunities. My bride looks for opportunities. We can be going through Wendy's drive-thru. It's just like, hey, can I get some ketchup? Like, yeah, you can have some ketchup. She said, ooh, Lord, this ketchup reminds me of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. All right, what? What do you mean? What do you mean? No. Jesus is just so good to me. Let me tell you about his blood. Boom. And there's the gospel shared in 20 seconds. They're trying to get out of the way so they can get them other cars through. But what do these words tell us? He said, we proclaim this one thing. God is light. Saints, I want to remind you to fight to walk in light, but rest in his irresistible grace. God is light, the Bible says. What does it mean? Three words, just packed with meaning. God, who is God? He is transcendent. He is self-existent. He is holy. He is immutable. He is full of mercy, and he is full of grace, and he is also light. And that's good news. And it's not that he was light, or that he's becoming light. His very essence is light. We're becoming something that we're not already. But not him. That's just who he is. Love is just who he is. Immutable is just who he is. Self-existence is just, that's just who he is. And we're trying to rest in that as we walk in light. Light, in the natural sense, serves to give us everything we need to exist on earth. It warms us. It feeds the soil that feeds us. It heats the earth so that we don't freeze to death. Light serves to keep us from stumbling, both in a physical sense and in a spiritual sense. And it exposes our sins. It shows us our lack of faith. It shows us the mess that can be wrought up in our heart. It shows us his light exposes to us. So I tell you, dear friends, it's better for you to be in the light than to be in the darkness. You may think right now, oh, Lord, my heart is desperately wicked. Oh, no, but I tell you, it is better to be in the light. It is much better to be in the light. Better you have your sins exposed here than in the coming judgment. Show us our sins now, Lord. Show them to us. His light, so bright that you can't approach it on your own. Huh? You can't approach the sun that he created with his own hands on your own. You can't even look into the sun for an extended period of time. So what makes us think we can approach such a marvelous light? How do we approach such a marvelous light? We get inside Jesus, and he ushers us into the light. He takes us by his shed blood to a place that we are not welcome without him. And that's his irresistible grace. Fight to walk in light, but rest in his irresistible grace. My dear friends, we are all grace cases. The Bible goes on to say, and in him there's no darkness at all. He hates everything that has to do with darkness, which is sin. He hates our sins, but he gives us grace. He hates our sins, but he gives us Jesus. He hates our sins, but he gives us the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He does that, why? Not because we're so good, but because he loves us. Show me in the text what Saul Paul did pre-conversion to deserve God's light. Nothing. I can ask you a question. Show me before your conversion what you did to deserve God's light. If the answer will have to be nothing. If you said something, you're a liar. Because the Bible says so. Satan is referred to as the prince of darkness, and God is light. And there is no union between light and darkness, my dear friends. Therefore, there is a separation between us and God if we choose to walk in darkness. So what do? We fight to walk in the light, but we rest in his irresistible grace. That's what we do. That's what we do. What do, saints? We remember Jesus shed blood for our sins, and we make it our business to proclaim that God is light. Dr. Hall, my time is fleeting. It's 10:38. I got about 15, 25 more minutes, brother. I'm going to have to speed up a little bit. All right? Part two of this. We see in verses 6 and 7. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. If we say we have fellowship with him. So now the question is, who are we saying these words to? Who are we coming in contact with? So we may be saying to an unbeliever, hey, I have fellowship with God. And let me look and say, is that what fellowship with God looks like? Is that what fellowship is? That's what fellowship with God looks like. I don't want to roll with him. We have to be very, very careful. If we're walking in secret sin and we're walking in darkness, just close your mouth. Don't tell people that you're walking with him. If you know you're not walking with him, just say it. Just say it. Just say, I don't want to walk with God right now. Just say it. You best spend your time confessing your sins than lying and telling us that you're walking with him. Because then we're confused. You tell us you're praying. We think you're praying. So we're praying with you. You say you're reading your Bible. We think you're praying and reading your Bible. Yet we see no fruit. I'm talking about believers now. We're like, well, what's going on? And all the while, you're just lying. Because you don't have fellowship with him. And if our fellowship with him is not right, our fellowship with others can't be right. I'm not saying that's always the case, but that's sometimes the case. Are you struggling in your marital life? Are you struggling at church? Are you struggling at work to have fellowship with other believers? Maybe your fellowship with God is not right. And I'm saying maybe because you can be doing everything right and you can still be in the midst of unbelieving people who hate you. So I want to close the back door on that thing. But check your heart today. Check your heart. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And there's the 1-2 punch. If we say we have fellowship, while we walk in darkness, number one, we lie. Number two, we do not practice the truth. So what does it mean to walk in darkness? I think Psalms 119, 105 tells us that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I think walking in darkness is doing anything in opposition to God's word. Whatever he says, we follow his word. His word lights our path. It lights our very path. It gives us hope. It exposes our sins. It tells us how we ought to live. So the Bible says to love your neighbor and you're not loving your neighbor, you're probably walking in darkness. If the Bible says become a living sacrifice and you're not a living sacrifice, you're probably walking in darkness. If the Bible says cut off your hands, pluck out your eyes, you're not doing those things, you just might be walking in darkness. But what do? We run to the light and we rest in his irresistible grace. And there is forgiveness today for your sins. We lie is what the Bible says. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, who is the liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, 1 John 2:22, and we do not practice the truth. And there's this term, practicing the truth, when Jesus Christ and Pilate are having this conversation, and the conversation ends with Pilate saying, well, what is truth? That's what he asked Jesus. Jesus had already answered that. Jesus declared himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. So what is truth? Jesus Christ is truth. I ask you today, dear brothers and sisters, to close up on verse 6. Do you have fellowship with him? Do you have fellowship with him? Are you really confessing your sins to him? Are you making it a habit to confess your sins? Are you just like blushing at him? Like, oh, I'm good. It's just a little sin. He'll deal with that. I'll be okay. No, we, Luke 9:23, we get up every single day and we mortify our flesh and we hate our sins. And we rest in his irresistible grace. Verse 7 says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all of our sins. And here now we see in verse 7, the positive effect of walking with him. We get fellowship with one another. If you want sweet communion and fellowship, we ought to seek and walk with him. That's how we improve our fellowship amongst one another. We fellowship with God first. We fellowship with him in the morning. We fellowship with him in the evening. We fellowship with him at night. And we make his word, we bind it on our heart, and we make his word our guiding light. That's the positive effect. What's the second positive effect? And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all of our sins. Like what a beauty that is. What a beauty that is. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. Now we're cleansed at conversion. But we walk in this bent life, this life bent on sin and destruction. And so every single day we pray to God, forgive us of our sins, forgive us of our sins, forgive us of the sins we know, forgive us of the sins we don't know. And here's the beauty of that. When you ask him, when you walk in his light, it says he will forgive us of our sins. He will cleanse us. He will wash us. He will wash us. He will cleanse us. Now, why do you need to be washed? We need to be washed because I said early on in the verse that God will have nothing to do with sin and darkness. That's why we need to be washed. That's why we bow down on our faces. And we pray to him, help us, God, to confess our sins. So what is it that cleans us? What is it that cleans us? Is it our work that cleans us? Is it the books we write that cleans us? Is it how much we know about certain philosophers that cleanse us? Is it how hard we work for our church that cleanses us? I think not. I think the Bible is very clear. The passage is very clear. It is the blood of Jesus, his son, that cleanses us. That's the tension. We work, we work, we work, we work, we work, and then we rest. And then we rest. We rest because even our good works are like filthy rags. And I ain't talking about a dirty dish rag. A rag you use to wipe up an oil spot in your driveway. I'm talking about a filthy rag. That's what our good works are. So we rest in him. Fight to walk in light, dear saints, but rest in irresistible grace. Rest in irresistible grace. Part three of this text is just a further explanation of verses 6 and 7. So we see what the call is and what we're called to proclaim. Then he tells us what we ought to proclaim. And now 8 to 10 is a further explanation of how we ought to live our lives. And the Bible goes on to say in verses 8, if we say we have no sin, one, two things happen. First, we deceive ourselves. Second, the truth is not in us. Here is what's startling about this statement. It reads as though it is possible for us to say, I don't have no sin. Like, it's possible to say that. He's writing to believers, and it's possible for you and me to say, I don't have no sin. But what does that do? What would cause one to say they don't have any sin? Pride would cause one to say they have no sin. But the Bible says if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. One, two things happen. First, we deceive ourselves, and I've seen deception before. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 3. Deception. Who is at the heart of deception? Satan is at the heart of deception. And deceit is all he knows. Lying is all he knows. If we say we have no sin, we are like Satan. And then the truth is not in us. Who is not in us? We have declared that Jesus Christ is truth. If we say we have no sin, we walk with Satan, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is not in us. And if he's not in us, we can't be in him. And if we can't be in him, we can't be ushered into the light. Being in darkness is a dangerous place to be, saints. It's a dangerous place to be. We stumble over things in the darkness. We tear up ankles in the darkness. I have 3 kids, and so sometimes, I would get up in the middle of the night. Notice I said sometimes, because mamas just have this voice where they can just hear a baby crying from like 6 miles away, like, that's my baby. Oh, no, yeah. All right, it just sound like a cat. But so sometimes you get up in the middle of the night, and when it's dark, and you try to serve your bride well by like not turning on the light, and what happens? I know I ain't the only one that's been there. You jump up in a frazzle, and you, boom, you stub that toe, you hit your knee, you hit your leg, and then you wake up the whole house anyway. But that could have been avoided if I were walking in light. On the backside of this, sometimes it's like a 1-2 punch. Not only do I hit my toe in my own room, but then on the way up the stairs or to the kids' bedroom, I'm stepping on Legos that KJ loves to play with. And Barbie dolls and pens and pencils and all kind of things on the floor. And that's what happens when you walk in darkness. Now, that's a physical stub of a toe. That's a physical pain. But if you walk in spiritual darkness, you get hell. You get hell. It's not you get hell for a short time. You get hell for life if you turn your back on him. That's the tension here. That's the tension here. Saints, fight to walk in light, but rest in his irresistible grace. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, it's a positive effect of that. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, here's the warning. So what are you going to do? Either you're going to lean into verse 8 and say you have no sins, or today and for the rest of your life, we're going to lean into verse 9 and we're going to confess our sin. We're going to make it a habit to confess our sins. And what happens when we confess our sins? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And here's the thing, Romans chapter 2, he already knows all of our secret sins. We might as well just confess them. We might as well just confess them. One of my darling little babies loves eating candy at night. So me and Mika will go upstairs in the morning and we're waking them up, and there's like chocolate on the fingers. And I'm like, what is that? Did you eat some candy last night? And it's like chocolate on the mouth. And I'm like, what is that? Were you eating candy? And there's a wrapper in the bed. And my dear little stinker's like, no, I haven't eaten any candy at all. I'm like, what do you mean? Look at you. What do you mean you haven't eaten any? What do you mean? Oh my God, look at you. It's on your hands and it's on your face and the evidence is in your bed. What do you mean? All saints, that's just us. With sin on our hands and sin around our mouths and the evidence of sin in our lives. And so we cannot say that we don't have sin because God can see it all. So as he peers into our hearts, we confess our sins. And if we do, here's the deal. He's faithful and just to forgive us, and he'll wash us and make us clean. Parents know, if you keep lying and telling me that you haven't eaten any candy, we're going to practice some discipline in the crib. Let's go to the bathroom and let's have a conversation. And I do a loving and kind thing, and I talk with my children, and I talk with them. And since this is being recorded, I just talk with them. All right, so and we just have ourselves a loving conversation. There is a consequence when we look at God and we say we have no sins, and it's much worse than anything we can imagine. It's worse than the conversation I have with my dear loved ones. It is eternal separation from a holy and righteous God. But if we confess our sins, second half of verse 9 says, he cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. So we confess our sins, that stuff that he already knows. We just tell him what he already knows. And he gives us his love. And he gives us his kindness. And he gives us everlasting life. Not because we deserve it, but because he has grace. Not because we deserve it, but because we have grace. Verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, this language just gets progressively more violent. We make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. If you say you don't have sin, we make God out to be a liar. We make him a liar. You make him a liar. He is not a liar. You're the liar when you say you have no sin. You're the liar. Two things. You say we have not sinned. You make him a liar, and his word is not in you. My dear brothers and sisters, I pray that we fight to walk in light, but we rest in irresistible grace. I'm going to close here in a moment, but there's some lyrics from a song that just rang true to my heart. And the song is called The Church by a hip-hop artist, and his name is The Ambassador. And he says this in a song called The Church. He says, we were bound up, but he found us, because that's just what a hound does. And what that says to me is we were bound up in sin. I was bound up in sin. You were bound up in sin, wrapped up, and Jesus Christ put on flesh and came to earth, and he does just what a hound does, and he sought after us, and he chases us. And he loves us. Even when we run for him, he comes for us. Because that's just what he does. That's just what he does. Hear the word of the Lord. 1 John chapter 2. I'll read this and then I'll sit down. That'll be it for the morning. It's 10:54. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation
for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. And by this, we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this, we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Remember, my dear brothers and sisters, to fight to walk in the light, but rest in irresistible grace and look to Jesus Christ, who is our advocate for forgiveness and for the cleansing of your sins. Don't look to your own feet for forgiveness of sins, even as you chase the light. Don't look to your own works, my dear brothers and sisters, to make you right as you seek to walk in the light. Look to your advocate. Look to your advocate. He has paid the cost. Your works don't pay the cost. We work because we love him. Look to him. God, our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your irresistible grace. We thank you for calling us and setting us apart for your work. So God, let us work unto you. Let your grace and the faith you give us and the love we have for you and the love you have for us push us to do good works. But let us rest in your grace, Lord. We love you and we thank you. And to you we give all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.